Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Hello and welcome back to Parkcast. I'm Vex, this is Kev.
Hi everyone.
And we are a podcast for theme park fans. If you're new here, you're very welcome. This is the episode that I didn't want to have to make. I don't think either of us wanted to have to make this episode.
No.
But I do feel like we're in a position now where we do have to make it. And basically because I have one very simple question, which is what on earth is going on at Alton Towers?
Parkcast.
Yes, so a few months ago, we started this podcast. We had an amazing chat, didn't we, with John Wardley. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think we were both so excited about the 2024 season at Alton Towers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think I even mentioned the fact that there was such a buzz around the park, that there was a great atmosphere. Everyone was really excited that, you know, we've had a good couple of years of a lot of investment, making everything look really good. There was a standard the park wanted to set, and they'd set that standard. And I think we, when we spoke to John, we really wanted to make that clear that we were, you know, really pleased with how everything was looking and the future of the park and where it was going. It was going in the right way.
Yeah, and obviously Nemesis Reborn opened, and it was a really successful opening. Like, opening day was busy. Obviously, mm-hmm. there was huge queues, but the atmosphere was really good. It was all managed really well. You know, that ride looks great. The whole area looks great. You know, the work that John Burton have done and the rest of the mm-hmm. team on bringing that attraction back to life, you can't fault them for it. It was really, really well executed. But absolutely. I just think I am seeing too much and I'm hearing too much from the park since then, which isn't good. And it's not good for us as enthusiasts. It's certainly not good if you are just a member of the general public who's maybe going on your once annually visit to Alton Towers, or maybe you haven't been for 5 years and you think, I'm going to go to Alton Towers and I'm going to drop 250 quid on a family day out. And you're just not, you're not getting a great experience. And I think, let's just go through a few of the things that I think we've all kind of picked up on, and let's try and pick them apart a little bit and work out what is going on, what's going wrong. Let's not sort of beat around the bush about it. I think we've got to start with Hex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hex,
yeah.
Which we've been promised since before the 2024 season had even started, was going to open for the 2024 season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think because it was closed most of last year as well. You know, so we've almost had two seasons without Hex open. And I think Alton Towers has always had a great history of producing really good dark rides, and Hex being one of them. So there's always an anticipation around something like that reopening, because I think, again, Alton Towers has always done really well at providing a variety of different types of attractions to suit all different ages. That's why it's such a good park for bringing all ages, because you've got preschool and then your kids, teenagers, adults. There's something for everyone. And so when you lose something like Hex, I think if it was a ride that people didn't care about too much, maybe we wouldn't be having this discussion. But I think because it's one within the enthusiast community particularly, it's very well regarded as a fantastic dark ride. And so for it not to still be open, we've had videos posted even at the beginning of the season. You know, we were given a bit of an insight. It wasn't very long, but we got like a little insight showing the new lighting setup, how it all looked. We had little teasers.
Yeah.
And so when you get a tease, you think, oh, exciting.
It's happening.
And yeah.
And I think that's it for me. It's like, you can't on one hand be teasing something and saying it's going to open in 2024. It's going to open. It's going to be great. You're going to love it. And we're opening it in 2024. And we're now less than 30 days before the park closes for the season. And I'm not an enthusiast who demands that parks tell us everything and tell us all their future plans, and you must give us all the information. But when you have teased something and you have told everyone, not just enthusiasts, you've been very public that a ride is coming back in 2024, it's starting to feel really disingenuous. Maybe it will open for Scarefest. I know there's been rumors in the last week or so, really. Some people have been posting about a mid-October opening date. Other people have said they've been around the building and they've heard the ride system testing. Which is all positive and great, but I would expect some of that information to come from the park.
Thinking back to this interview, when we spoke to John Wardley, was the amount of things that Alton Towers were trying to open throughout the season. So they were obviously had these very ambitious plans and ideas that not only were they retheming and, you know, spending millions on completely overhauling the area of Forbidden Valley, completely spending again millions and millions retracking Nemesis, but also we were going to have millions invested into Hex reopening. We've got Project Ocean, which we know isn't Ripsaw, but it kind of it is. I don't know.
Yeah.
There was all this kind of stuff. We're going to do this. And last season, when they redid the Haunted House into the Curse of Alta Manor, they spent a lot of money into that. They reopened Nemesis Subterra, which they probably didn't have to do because that had been an empty shell apart from being a scare maze.
Yeah, no one was really so banging years. On the drum for the reopening of Subterra, were
no.
they?
We'd all but they were on. They were thinking, let's get that reopened. So they put money into that. And I don't know whether trying to do too much too fast. The focus should have been on Nemesis Reborn.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that whole area. And that would have been fine for me as a huge fan of Alton Towers and of that ride. That would have been fine for me. I could have easily waited for Hex to open. And unfortunately, they'd obviously, I feel like there's been too much emphasis on, you don't want to say false promises, but
it's starting to feel that way. You know, I just don't really understand where the communication's gone on it. And it's fine to not communicate about future plans because they'll all have their sort of, you know, their inner workings and their marketing plans and how they want to release stuff to the general public. And that's fine. But when you have already released a plan, to then not update on it just seems really strange. And I don't understand why they think that's a good thing to do. And I think it's compounded by the fact that this year in particular, Alton Towers have had a dreadful run of ride availability.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's I don't remember a year where I've seen so many complaints about major attractions not being available, and the fact that Hex isn't available obviously adds to that because it's another attraction that is on that unavailable list.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know you went a couple of weeks ago to Oktoberfest.
Yeah. So because it's, you know, the part that's nearest to me, it's the one part that I visit the most. And like, I just want to say as well, because I'm always quite a positive person, and as I'm getting older, I don't want to be. I know me. I can find myself getting a bit grumpier as I'm getting older. You know, as I go to Alton Towers a lot, you start to spot things. It's very easy. When you see it a lot, you start to see things that aren't quite right. If something's not working, like for me, if there's a particular effect that's not lit up on Curse of Alta Manor, I'm first to spot it because I know now, hang on a minute, that's not working.
You add it to your little notebook.
Add it to me. Yeah, I must remind whoever about this effect is down. I have done it as well, just so. But I try to be positive. And like the negatives and the concerns I have is because I care about the park. You know, I've been going there as you have since the early 90s. You know, I've grown up with that park. And it's because I care. I want the park to do well. And so all the negatives, all the concerns I have is because I want them to understand that we see them. And you know, and like you say, you know, people who visit maybe once a year, we want them to have the best day possible. So when I went, I think it was just an ordinary weekday. I think it was like a Thursday, and the weather, it was really lovely weather. But only three of the coasters out of the eight were available at the start of the day. And then it got to about midday. If I remember, Wicker Man was down, Galactica was down, Rita was down, Oblivion and Smiler, I think it was just Spinball, Nemesis and 13 that were available. But when it's thunder and lightning, you know, high winds, because I know the high winds affects the rides at Alton Towers. If it drops below 4 degrees, net 13 can't run. And then, you know, there's things like that. But it was just an ordinary day. You know, it's an ordinary day. It's lovely weather. And I was like, why is there so many things just not available at the start of the day? And then on top of that, you've got certain areas in the park that, or certain attractions that don't open at 11 either, like the World of David Walliams, Gangster Granny, and I think the Congo River Rapids as well, all aren't open till 11. Mm-hmm. So if you're there, like for me, it's fine because I'll go, well, I'll just come back again in a couple of days, you know, come back with my kids. You know, we come and visit together as a family another day. It's fine. I can go home. and come back again. Yeah. But for other people, if you've traveled up, 2-3 hours, and you might even be paying to stay at the hotel, or for people, I just feel bad, that you get there and it's like, I'll go to Wicker Man first, because I'm a bit of a routine person. I like to, go to certain places. It's down at the minute. You're going to have to come back again later. Okay, cool. What do I do? Where do I go now? I'm going to go here. Oh, no, that's now down. Oh, okay. And already that's the start of your day. It's like, boom, negative.
But also, I think it's interesting, the coasters that you mentioned are open. So Nemesis 13 and Spinball were open. No Skyride to get between those three areas of the park. So it's not even like you can easily go, okay, well, we'll just do those three really quickly. Because to do those three, especially if you've got kids in tow, that's a lot of walking now. With and we know what about Skyride, and it's added to the list. It sounds like it's nothing that they could have helped, and they have been very open and honest about Skyride, and it was never going to open this season, and that's fine. These things happen. Yeah. We want it to be working, and obviously we want it to be safe.
And it's not like it's been left either, because it's been the stations look really nice. They've repainted it, re-signed it. It looks really good. So they're obviously planning on using it still.
But it's just another one of those things, isn't it? Which I think has compounded this 2024 season into a bit of a, it started so well and now it's all going so badly. So yeah, you have a day where there's three coasters open. They're all at opposite triangles of the park and there's no transport between those three areas. So even if you start saying, okay, well, we'll head over to Nemesis and we'll go and ride that. If Galactica's not open, you do have to go to another area of the park. And at some point you're going to have to go back to Forbidden Valley. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to make that walk back and forth. And it's just, it's not great. And for me as well, it would be the communication. Okay, well, why are these things down today when it is a lovely sunny day? And when are they going to reopen? Because then at least I can try and make some sort of plan, which doesn't involve me walking around Alton Towers 10 times today to try and get all these attractions in. And like you say, it's different if you're a pass holder, because you go, okay, I won't go on Galactica today. No big deal. I don't care.
Yeah.
But if this is your first ever visit to Alton Towers, or your first time in a couple of years, of course you're going to want to go on all those big coasters, and you're going to want an explanation as to why you can't. And that's where it's falling down for me, I think, a little bit. It's the communication, but also why is the availability so bad? Why was Oblivion down for days in the middle of the season? What's going on? This isn't happening at other parks.
No, I understand, like, with having technical issues, because everything's going to have technical issues, but some of these rides have been at the park for such a long time, and they should be ways of surely understanding the way of maintaining it. Like I said, if it's a weather thing, that's totally different. I totally understand why there are sensors at the top of the Smiler that pick up a wind speed, and if it gets a certain wind speed, the ride can't run. For health and safety, and safety is paramount at parks, I totally get that. But I think that's what baffled me, was that there were so many. If there's one or two, you can kind of, forgive that. But when there's so many, and it's very confusing, there's not a power cut, there's no power shortage or something. It just seems to be like, well, it'll open midday, or by that point you've
and that's fine.
But it's the same with Curse of Alton Manor, and I do always hark on about this ride, because it's I always love the haunted house, and I love what they did to it. But one of my other main concerns with that particular ride was that, they invested heavily into that attraction, and always my worry was, well, what happens if their eyes or attentions are elsewhere across the park, and it gets not left? But the problem that happened, like with Jewel, was that things just got left and not fixed, because it was a cost that maybe they didn't want to have to do, because their costings were looking at other things. And my concern with Curse of Alton Manor is very, very similar. And I've started to notice things like that start to creep in. Now, Trommel Tunnel hasn't worked on that attraction for a long time. Last few months, that's been down. And that was down for many, many years when it was Jewel, because it was a huge cost to fix it. Now, they got it sorted, but whether it's to do with the welding on it, or because of the speed of the tunnel is affecting how it's structurally held together, is stopping that from running. And you can't help, but when you're on that ride, you come round the corner and you see it not working. It just, it's like a blur. No. And I think they tried turning it slower to see if that will do it. But again, it doesn't have the same effect. Well, the actual drum is rotating slower. So it doesn't have the same effect. So, and I think it was one of the effects that if it wasn't working, the ride wouldn't work at all. So there's a few key effects on that ride. If they don't work, they wouldn't open the attraction at all because it's part of the experience, is that it's part of the wow moments on Cursor Alta Manor. As you go down that Trommel Tunnel and it's spinning fast and you get that disorientating feeling. But now what they've done is obviously they've realized that they can't really fix it properly. So they've obviously had to keep it, to keep the ride open, they've just had to turn that effect off altogether. The problem with Trommel is you're going down the tunnel and it could be that you might be an ordinary guest, but you might look at it and go, this looks like this should be doing something.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like there's certain things, if there's like, you know, I was saying earlier, the odd lighting might not be working. I spot it. If you're an ordinary guest on that ride for the first time, you're probably not going to, because there's a lot happening on that ride. But when it's something big like Trommel not turning, it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
And it looks like something should be happening and it's not. So that's on, you know, in my concerns, is that as we have things like Hex not open and Project Ocean is obviously going to open next season now. And we obviously, there were plans submitted for a new indoor roller coaster.
That seems so long ago
and,
now.
And things like that are looking at going, well, the money's going to go to that.
Yeah.
So is the money going to go to Cursor Alta Manor to fix the things that are starting to not work? Because they set a standard on a dark ride that a lot of people, maybe next to Valhalla, were saying, you know, this is one of the best dark rides in the UK, next to Valhalla. And you've invested the money in this attraction. So the standard is set. It is high. And you've got to maintain it. There's no point spending all of that money making something look really good. So many effects in that ride that were amazing. You know, we had a Europe's first with the whole mirror sequence where you go down and you disappear and Emily's in the car. You know, they're doing all these things, but it's no good then not maintaining it. And I think we're coming into the crux of the problem, I think, here, is the investment that they've spent on doing these things. But then it looks worse when you've stopped.
So, yeah, obviously, we don't know, you know, have any view on the inner workings of their finances and where things are. They clearly are investing in the big things like Nemesis Reborn, reopening Hex. But it does seem that it's, at least for this season, it's been at the expense of some of the little smaller things that you kind of wish they would have kept the money for, like maintenance repairs, like events. You know, the events this year have been hugely reduced. Is that now forever? Have they decided that actually some of those events were just not worth putting on? We've basically this year we've had Oktoberfest, which was reduced from years gone by. You know, all the entertainment was now in just one area this year. And we've got Scarefest, and I am not a Scarefest expert. I've been very clear on this podcast. I don't do scare attractions. They're just not my thing. And I know that you will, and you're quite happy going there, and you've been a Scarefest goer for a long time. I've been a Scarefest goer. I have gone to Scarefest pretty much every year for the last God knows how many years, but I just don't go in the scare attractions. So what was your thoughts when you saw the list of Scarefest attractions for 2024? Because I know what mine was.
Scarefest. I took a deep breath then. That just did. I feel like it's okay if you want to repeat a maze or a scare attraction for a couple of years and then refresh it and do something new. If you're a listener and you remember the Sanctuary, and you know, again, because we're going back 10 years now,
Again,
this is crazy. Like, you know, I'm talking about the Sanctuary, and everyone, you know, if it's fresh in your mind, you're probably of a similar age, or you know,
we're in the over 40s club now, guys. That's where we are.
That's always regarded as one of the best scare mazes that Alton Towers ever did, and the Sanctuary was there for I think 2012, 2013, 2014. And at the start of the 2013 season when the Smiler opened, because it fit in with the theme with the Ministry of Joy and everything. And it had a great run. And I think a lot of people, even now, still talk about, oh, they should bring the sanctuary back. They should bring it back. But why is that? Is that because the Maze only ran for 3 seasons? And we regard it as one of the best scare mazes simply because we remember it that way and it had a small run.
It's now, like it's like the In-Betweeners, isn't it? It did 3 series. Yeah. And we're like, it was brilliant. It's like one of the best series ever created, but that's because it ended when it did.
Yeah.
They didn't drag it out.
You don't keep making, you know, keep repeating. Because if, you know, if the Sanctuary was in its 8th season, people would probably be saying, oh, bit bored of it now. Let's have something new. And I think that's the problem with Scarefest. I think that you might be someone that only visits at Scarefest every year, but even then you're doing the same thing and it's the same mazes. And yes, I get with mazes like Altonville Mine Tours, for example, they might change the story, slightly change the route, but it's still very, very similar. It's still in that, you still enter in the same through the tunnel to get into that entrance into the towers and out again.
And it feels a little bit lazy, I think. I think it feels like, let's just run through what we've actually got at Scarefest this year. And we will do another episode on in a bit more detail about various scare attractions, not just Scarefest, but Fright Nights and other places as well. But this is what we've got at Scarefest. So we've got Altonville Mine Tours. Mm-hmm. Of course we have.
Again,
I mean, it's getting to the point now if we don't have it, we'll all have like withdrawal symptoms.
So what's going on? Yeah.
Yeah. Altonville Mine Tours, Tiny's Revenge. Now, Altonville Mine Tours has been a feature at Scarefest since 2016. So, you know, it is literally 8 years.
Yeah.
That's mental.
Yeah.
We've got the Attic coming back, Terror of the Towers. That's been there since 2019. I mean, anything that's pre-COVID to me is that's dying ages ago.
Yeah.
It feels like another.
It was a shock when they stopped doing subspecies.
Yeah.
Who wants subspecies back? I guarantee there's probably people
My
out
husband
there
loves subspecies.
Who probably will now be saying, it's been long enough, let's bring it back again. At the time, it was like, oh my goodness, it's the same. And then now it's like, I miss it.
So Attic, Terror of the Towers. Obviously, that has had a few different guises. We actually take it back, Terror of the Towers was there since 2002. So there has been an attraction like in that spot forever. And I guess you kind of have to. You've got to put an attraction in there. But I think the point is it feels like, it almost still feels like Terror of the Towers, just slightly rebadged.
Yeah, yeah.
Burial Grounds, and that was obviously new for last year. I did like that, although I didn't like it, if you know what I mean.
It was like, I think that's why it was one of my favourite walkthrough scare maze things, because scare zones. Yeah, because I loved it when they did 3 scare zones and walkthroughs. It was, you know, part of the experience that made Scarefest really good. They did, like I said, I can never remember its name because it was always really random, but there was the one in
show.
Dark Forest. Well, they did Freak Show. There was the one in Dark Forest. They had the one in Forbidden Valley with the zombies.
Yeah.
And then obviously this one with Wicker Man. And it was, they're really good because, you know, they're just, I think because it's free.
But, but you have low expectation, don't you? Because it's free.
Exactly.
And it only works at nighttime. Like, I go through it in the daytime. Like, this is just a bit weird. But for me, that is part of Scarefest. Is the whole park changes its atmosphere, and having that is really good. So I'm glad they're bringing that back. Be interesting to see if it is an absolute carbon copy or if they've changed it in any way. Also returning from 2023 is Daz Games Panic Reloaded. Now, clearly, as already mentioned on this podcast, we're not the target audience here. We are the over 40s club. But
well, I'm not there yet. All right,
I've got 2 weeks.
I've still got another year or so. So we're not quite there yet.
We're the millennials. Daz Games Panic Reloaded. I was like, Daz Games who? I'm of that age now. I'm like, who's this young man?
Who's this gentleman? Who is Daz Games? Who is he?
So they brought it back for 2024. I'm guessing he signed some sort of 2-3 year contract, and that's why it's been brought back. I don't think anyone was particularly impressed by it. From what I didn't go in it. I haven't seen anyone who said yes, that was exactly what Scarefest needed.
It was different.
Okay? That's not always a positive.
That's the best way of saying it was different from other Scarefest. It was a thing of where you obviously having to find your symbols.
Yeah.
Around the room.
Yeah.
And escape.
I mean, it's back. And I'm guessing it's back with very little change. And
it's been reloaded.
Great.
We'll see what that means.
And then, this is the good bit for new. Mm. We do have a new scare maze for 2024, which everyone I think is a bit like, thank goodness, because we actually did need it. Everyone thought last year, Daz Games, that's new. It wasn't really a scare maze, was it? So Compound, which is a Nemesis Phalanx themed scare maze. I do think that's what Scarefest needs. And hopefully they are going to pull this one off. That is a whole new building as well.
And I think some of these are always some of my favorite scare attractions is when they link them to an attraction at the park. And I think that's what these ones particularly always have worked really well for me personally, because, you know, they fit in. That's why the Sanctuary worked really well, because it, fit in with the Smiler. And then this fits in with Nemesis. We had the one for Wicker Man, the Welcome In, which fit. It wasn't amazing, but it was cool because it fit. And even Darkest Depths, when they actually had Darkest Depths in Mutiny Bay before they moved it up to near Dark Forest, it worked really well because it was in a pirate-themed area.
Yeah.
So some of these ones work really well. So I think this could be very successful. Again, because it's new. So it's always interesting because it's new. I was a little bit disappointed because I was thinking, oh, it's behind Curse at Alt Manor. Maybe it's like an Emily Alton themed attraction. I was like, oh, this could be exciting. But I'm still, excited to see it linked with Nemesis. So, yeah.
And it is new. So we can't fault them for the fact they have actually, they are giving us a new maze in 2024. But the rest of it, I don't know. It feels a bit lazy again. And I'm very happy to be proved wrong. But it feels a bit like it feels like Scarefest is a bit. Yeah, everyone will come anyway. It doesn't matter what we do. They'll come. The people will come. And we don't need to try and be innovative or do something a little bit different or even really create a really good atmosphere because the people will come. And I'm very happy to be proved wrong. And we've got a new maze. So that's great. Just to say as well, there's also another new maze, of course, where the dungeons were, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was. Toyland Tours. If you're part of the Millennial Club,
we're talking about bringing back old rides. Can we just completely bring back Toyland Tours again? You know, let's refresh all John Wardley classics at the park. Let's just get Toyland Tours back as well, please.
Why don't we bring Toyland Tours back, but for Halloween, and all the toys are really like creepy?
Oh, okay, okay, cool. And, okay, like, now we're talking. Okay.
You can have that on us, John Byrne, if you're listening. Mm-hmm. In the Dungeons building, we have Amigos in the Afterlife, which is a family scare attraction. So that'll be nice to see. Again, something new. Trick or Treat Town's still there with its rip-off price of Haribo. The Alton Ancestors are, of course, and they're talking about who's been around a long time, the Alton Ancestors since 2014.
They are becoming ancestors, really, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
You know, you think.
They won't need to dress up soon. It's just their haggard faces.
Turn up and, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's they're obviously popular. People do enjoy the Ancestors show. If it was me personally, I would quite like to see them more around Gloomy Wood area.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you've got a haunted house in the park and it's never really utilized much for Scarefest. I know they did Duel Live at one point, which was cool when they had actors inside the attraction until they realized the health and safety. It's very rarely used. I'd love to see the Ancestors used more. I think they did actually at some points go down to Gloomy Wood and do shows down there. But again, I think this is the thing with Scarefest. If it's popular and people like it, it's almost like, well, we don't need to change it.
Yeah.
It's like that case. Well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
But sometimes it does. A lot of these things need refreshing.
Yeah.
Same with Trick or Treat Town. I have done that. If it's popular and people like it, then they don't seem to want to change it. And I think that's the issue.
No, I think even it hit the nail on the head there. And sometimes it is better the devil, you know, but if we just keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, you are even people who only come once a year, once every 5 years, they're going to get bored of it. And it's just not, I think, what you'd expect from a world leading innovative attraction with the creative brains they've got within Alton Towers, within Merlin. Like, it could be so special. And I think that, again, it's this whole thing, isn't it? It's this season. It's kind of, it's just another thing. It's like, okay, well, the season's not been great, but Scarefest is coming. Then Scarefest lineup comes up and you're like, oh, okay. So they've got a new maze and a new family attraction. And again, it just feels like, well, okay, but where's the,
it's still one of my favorite times of year, despite the fact that when it gets to it, I'm like, oh, season's finishing soon. But it's like, you know, that, oh, it's like, oh, the season's coming to an end. But, you know, for me, it's the, I still love doing the roller coaster in the dark, I think. Yeah. As much as I do enjoy the scare attractions and walkthroughs and things, I think the thing for me is because it's so similar year after year, my reason I really go is to go on the roller coaster and the other rides in the dark and get that atmosphere now.
Yeah.
I think that's for me, that's what keeps me coming back.
The only trouble is with Skyride being down, it's much harder to get in all the coasters in the dark because just the time it takes to get between them all. And obviously you don't have that many hours of actual dark because park close at 9.
Yeah. Although that's changing, isn't it?
Is it?
Well, because so although like in previous years they've done weekend, and then they've done, you know, the run of those 2 weeks where it's open in the weekday is actually running throughout the week from the moment Scarefest starts on that Friday on the 11th.
Yeah.
But it's closing at 9. So in that half term week, the park is open till 9. But in the run up to that, on the weekdays, it's closing at 8.
Yeah.
So you're getting one less hour, which again goes back to like what we're saying with this issue of it feels like they're trying to cut down on things. So you've got, and that's the problem, is that you've got that positivity where you look to it and go, oh, awesome. Scarefest is actually from the moment it starts, it's that whole run, it's going to be open, which is great. You know, again, if you're someone like me who has an annual pass and it's not too far, I get to, you know, I can go and visit, you know, go for an evening. But now it's almost like, oh, and it closes at 8. So is it worth going up, you know, until the half term week? But then half term week, it's going to be always busy because it's like one of the busiest times of year. So I know why, but at the same time, half terms in the UK have changed greatly over the last few years. Rather than when it was just 1 week a half term, everyone had the same week off. You find now there's certain counties in the UK, in certain places, their half term is a different week to other people. So actually half term in the UK is actually across 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Same at, you know, it feels like it's the same at Easter and May, kind of around that time. And February half term seems to be that certain people, you know, have half term different weeks. So say if you live in a certain part of the country and your half term is the week before the 9 p.m. closing.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
means your half term week, you're getting one less hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know.
Good point. Well made. So a positive for Scarefest I will draw on is that they've pretty much kept their pricing the same for the scare mazes for this year. Looks to be about the same. So you like your combi pass is £34. They have brought in, now I don't understand this at all, but they brought in there's only 100 available, of which they are currently still available. Possibly not all 100, but there are certainly some available. £120 for Merlin annual pass holders. You can get an unlimited Frights Pass, so that's unlimited on all the scare mazes. You do have to pay an extra £100 and you do have to be a Merlin annual pass holder. To me, I don't know why you'd want to do that. Also, they've done this before apparently quite a long time ago, and
it was almost like having an annual pass
for the mazes.
Scare mazes. You could literally queue up for the maze, do it, and then you could go back around and join the queue and go around again, which I think I thought was popular. So when they only did 100, I was a bit like, that's weird, because I thought this would be something that would be, you know, very, very popular. But again, I think it's for people who, you know, if you're able to visit regularly and you don't mind going around the scare mazes. But I think the problem they had was that, again, because you could just rejoin the queue and then you'd have people sharing online or telling people where the scares were, where the actors were, because you've been around it multiple times, you knew exactly what was happening. And so you get things like spoilers, And that's what, you know, makes these scare attractions fun, is not knowing where the actors are. Again, that links back to the problem with when you have the same scare maze open year after year, you know exactly where the same jumps are happening. And you can just walk through, literally going, oh, I know who's about to, you know, when this is going to happen, I don't have to crawl through here. Because, and it's just in, and that's the thing, isn't it? It's just,
it's not actually scary anymore.
Yeah. And so really, if you're paying for this pass, it's, I'm looking at the four mazes now. And so really, you're getting that pass probably to do Compound numerous amounts of times. Because if you've done Mind Tours, Terror of the Towers, even Daz Games again, although it was just last year, you're obviously doing, you know, the same ones again and again and again. Maybe that's why they've not sold. If you've got four brand new scare mazes, they would probably sell out instantly. So, and I do know someone who has one. So,
is it you?
No, it's not me. No, it's not me. Surprise! I know someone who's got one. So I will be interested to speak to him.
Yeah.
And find out how it works, actually.
Well, we're definitely going to do, once obviously Scarefest has opened and Fright Nights has opened and other various scare attractions around the UK is open, we'll definitely do an episode on that. So we can circle back to it. But it'll be interesting to see. There's some positives, pricing, new maze, that's good.
Yep.
I think for me, it just feels a bit samey again. Obviously, we don't know for sure until the thing actually opens.
Yeah. And it'd be the same with the entertainment backs. It'll be the same with entertainment because one thing that Alt Towers has, I always feel, has done really good at the last few years is the entertainment side. Mm. You know, putting on shows throughout the day, you know, music, dances, you know, all these sorts of things, you know, I think is really, you know, makes a theme park as well. So you've got your attractions, places to eat, which we'll probably touch on in a bit. But for entertainment is a huge part because it's a thing you don't have to queue for, you know, if you like shows and stuff, it's, you know, great. So I'll be interested to see, are the shows from exactly the same? Is it the same set list? Is it the same whole, the same thing? Because again, it's the same with Oktoberfest this year. You know, we talked about reduced entertainment because normally you'd have the stage in the courtyard area. You've got the main stage. You'd have other things going on. And obviously that all moved onto the lawn. And it was great having the marquee put up for Oktoberfest this year. I think that was a great investment. But again, Oktoberfest, it felt very, very, very similar. So you're watching the same set list and literally, Bex, if I have to hear, hey, baby, one more time, I was literally going to lose it.
Well, we don't know until it starts, and we will, you know, obviously, like we say, report back, and it could be a great... The thing is with Scarefest, you never know, even with the same lineup. Sometimes the atmosphere is just there, and other times it's just not. Mm-hmm. But we can only see. I mean, we're getting towards the end of the episode. There's just a couple more things I did want to touch on when we're talking about what is going on at Alton Towers in 2024. I think this isn't just, you know, solely Alton Towers. This is a Merlin-wide problem, but the food situation, I mean, that's not helping any of the complaints I've seen about food this year. Oh my goodness. And theme park food is never great, but this Aramark contract, which I know has been discussed so many times in enthusiast circles, but surely something has got to change. That for me, it's the cost versus quality. It's just not working, and there's so much more that they could do in terms of like themed food, you know, what they do around the Curse of Alton Manor. Actually, I think that's really good that they have taken a kind of a leaf out of Disney's book and tried to theme some food. And you don't mind paying a bit more for it then because you're like, it's a themed ice cream.
It's unique, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's different.
When it's like a burger, like you'd get out of a van from B&Q car park. And it's like,
that's... Where are you going for burgers?
Do you know what I mean? You know those like really greasy burger vans that you see in like a car park of B&Q? It's that quality, but it's like, and that'll be £18. It's just adding to a bad experience on a day out. And this did make me laugh the other day when I saw them post on socials that they're doing a food offer. They're doing a disc. They're giving something back. And there's now going to be an offer on food. And I thought, oh, that's great, because it has been quite expensive. And when I looked at it in detail, the offer is 20% off food. Great.
Okay.
However, only at Roller Coaster Restaurant, Woodcutters Bar, and the Bergen Kitchen in Fountain Square, those are the only three places you can get 20% off food. Okay. They're, you know, the okay. food's expensive there, so fine. It's also valid Monday to Friday only, not weekends.
Okay.
And only between 2 and 4 p.m. So it's like, it's such a specific window and such a specific set of restaurants. It's like, why don't, just don't bother.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hardly worth talking about if that's the best that you can
that's
do.
The, yeah.
Because
yeah.
so few people will benefit from that, that just, it's better to do nothing. It's literally better mm-hmm. to do nothing than say, we're doing 20% off food. Oh, but this there's this condition, this condition, this condition, this condition. Because
yeah, it's difficult because I think sometimes, I mean, any theme park you go to, Disney is an example of this. Like, you know, when we go to Disney, whichever Disney park it is, you know you're going to have to pay. Now, obviously, you do get your, you know, you can have your food vouchers at Disneyland Paris and other Disney parks. So you can get food included, which can help. And I, you know, we've done that thing with your spreadsheet where you kind of writing down, well, what if I buy it there compared to having the, you know, the food vouchers, you know, and we're a family of five. So, you know, that has to, you know, think about it. So whether we go to Chessington or Blackpool, wherever we're going, most of the time now we'll probably bring food with us.
Yeah.
And that's my kind of top tip. If you're a family, you know, going to the theme park, bring food with you. I know it's a pain in the backside because you've got to bring goodness knows amount of food with you. you know, but actually, I mean, we do it at Paris as well. You know, when we're going to, you know, these parks around Europe as well, you know, a lot of the times it's, we'll bring stuff with us because you know you're going to have to pay. And it's the same at Alton Towers. You know, it's very rarely I will actually eat there now.
Yeah.
Very rarely.
In that, so you get a discount.
Even with 20%,
as well.
Even with 20% discount, yeah. I mean, the amount of times, like, I'll go through Katanga Canyon and there's the sign for Pizza Pasta. I'm sure Pizza Pasta's gone up twice or something in a season. And, you know, you've, you know, if you've paid to visit the theme park, say you don't have an annual pass, say you haven't brought packed lunch with you. I mean, you're talking hundreds of pounds here. And then if you've got kids and they want to buy, you know, if you want to buy a photo, you've been on Oblivion for the first time, you've been on Wicker Man for the first time, you want to get something to remember that. So, you know, you might want to get some merchandise, get a photo. You know, all these things add up as well.
It contributes to the whole feeling of have I had a great day or not, doesn't it? And it, you could go to Alton Towers and on a lovely day and all the rides are available and the queues are minimal and you've taken most of your food with you and you got 2-for-1 vouchers off the back of a packet of soap and you go, we had a great day. But actually, if you've not done any of those things and you've just bought tickets and it's terrible ride availability and you haven't brought any food with you because you thought, no, we only go to a theme park every 1, 2, 3 years, we'll get our food there, and you've paid probably about £100 for lunch for you and your family once you've included your drinks and everything mm-hmm. like that, and it's really bad quality, and then you've paid £200 to enter the park, so you're talking probably yeah. £300 at least, plus your petrol, everything else for a day
yeah.
out.
Yeah,
and actually, you've not got on many rides, and you've had a really rubbish lunch, and you—that's where you're like, I'm not doing this anymore, and that's where all these little things that we've talked about in this episode kind of add up, and that's. You're always going to have bad days mm-hmm. at theme parks. It doesn't matter what the park's doing. But for me this year, yeah. I feel like the park has allowed too many bad things to kind of convolute
and happen
to too many people all at the same time.
Yeah. And I didn't want to, I've just suddenly thought about this as well, but what happens if it's busy and you want to buy fast passes, fast tracks. Like I'm not a fan of fast tracks.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, isn't it? If it's over a weekend and it's busy.
Yeah.
And then you go
double the price at least. I mean,
you go on the app and it's like one shot on, you know, solo fast pass for this, and it's £8, £10 to get onto Wicker Man. Oh, I've not been able to get on Wicker Man yet. I really want to do it. Well, it's an hour queue.
We definitely need to do an episode, I think, about queues, ride access pass, how Fast Track plays into that as well. The few, I mean, there is so much that we cannot fit it into this episode, but there's definitely a discussion there. And just the one other bit that I suppose ties into all this, and you're talking about visiting and stuff, is the hotels, and where they, I mean, where they're being priced at the moment. I just, it's eye-watering when you look at, especially weekends. I know everywhere's expensive to go on a weekend and school holidays. It is, but it's one night in a hotel, and I just don't think you're getting the value there anymore. You don't get the entertainment that used to be there. Everything. I saw a picture of someone who posted about 10 p.m. and it was like a ghost town in the hotel, which just wouldn't have been a thing years ago. And I'm not someone who wants to just keep going, oh, bring it back like it used to be. It needs to be like it used to be. But this is a place that is selling itself as a resort. And we spoke to John Wardley, and his here's one improvement that he, as someone who was involved with the hotels from the very start, he said it needs an entertainment venue, like a whole
why
venue.
Why is there no space? Why is there no space for putting on shows and entertainment in the evening?
Because people want to be entertained and they want to feel part of something whilst they're staying in these hotels. It's like, wow, that's John's grand vision. But we can't even get entertainment on in the bar. Like, if they can't do that, what hope have we got for sort of big scale entertainment in the hotels? And more people, I think, are going, I'll just pay for the Premier Inn at Utoxeter, because actually, what am I getting apart from that very convenient walk into the park or the walk back to the room at the end of the day? That's it. Yeah. It's not worth it for me anymore. Even as a treat, it's you come away feeling ripped off, and that's not a nice feeling to have for anyone. And I think that's what they need. Somehow they've got to add some value back, and it doesn't have to be through cost. It can just be through experience and atmosphere.
Yeah. I mean, the entertainment's got better. There was a time where, you know, because of where I live, I very rarely don't need to stay in the hotel, but, you know, would go to the hotels to watch the shows because, you know, again, we're talking about 10 years ago now, but when they were putting on these shows that went on till late, there was multiple shows, the music, it was just so good. I mean, the internet's better, but I think they were worried about sound pollution and like noise and waking people up, because people they were thinking maybe because they've had a busy day at theme park, they're going to go to bed early. And so we don't need to put any shows on after a certain time. But that's not what you go for the whole package, don't you?
Yeah.
And like the cost is interesting, because I think for how much it costs to stay, like in the CBeebies hotel, for example, you know, you can stay for two nights over a weekend, you know, with breakfast, is the same as it would cost to go for five nights in Efteling. So that's a 7 days ticket, even with breakfast and Eurotunnel.
That's crazy.
And Efteling is an amazing family theme park, as you know.
Yeah.
And you compare that and you think, what you're getting to go to Efteling, and yeah, and again, it's a great theme park. It's amazing, a beautiful theme park, and perfect for families. And you know, you look at that and go, "Well, I might as well go to Efteling rather than go to Alton Towers and stay for two nights in the CBeebies hotel over a weekend and get five nights, 7 days." You know, at Efteling.
That's the kind of decisions people will make. I mean, I've been to Efteling many times and never had a bad visit. And it's, you do kind of think, if they're operating like that, why can't everyone operate it? Like, everyone's business model's different. I get it. But I think that's as well, if you are an enthusiast, you do sometimes go to these European parks. You're like, why can we not have that at home? And it kind of makes it a bit more raw. I mean, we've covered so much in this episode, and that there's, because we have to, because there is so much that we've talked about. I kind of don't want to end on too much of a negative. So, you know, hopefully Hexel will reopen. There's still chance for it to open in 2024. There's chance that it might reopen for Scarefest, which would then add to the, you know, Scarefest feeling a little bit more fresh.
Definitely.
In 2024. There is a new maze coming into Scarefest. The maze tickets are about the same as they were last year. So that's all good. But we do have, I think, massive communication issues. We have availability issues, and for me it is the communication. Actually, these things are going to happen, but it's how the park deals with them and how it talks to their guests and their customers and how it resolves that issue with them that I think has really been missing. I think the events are stale. I think, you know, we say it every year, and every year, like, well, maybe next year they'll make it better, but it'll be interesting to see what events they bring back for 2025. And the food.
Yeah.
As I can't eat. Yeah. I'll just go on a rant if we talk about it again. And the hotels, you know, for me, it's a cost versus value thing. You are an annual pass holder.
Mm-hmm.
Will you be renewing your annual pass for 2025?
I'll always renew my annual pass for excess of problem.
It doesn't matter how much it is.
Well, it's like until Universal opens.
Oh.
That's another topic for another time, because that's going to have a huge impact. But yes, until Universal opens, yeah, I think I'll always have a new pass simply because, you know, my children really enjoy going to theme parks still. You know, they love going to Chessington, you know, and I'm still yet to get to Thorpe Park and ride Hyperia. But having an annual pass means that's, you know, I will be able to, you know, try and do that at some point soon. Interesting enough, I know we didn't mention Fright Nights at Thorpe Park because they tend to, you know, change up a lot of what they do for Fright Nights. Now, what's interesting there is that they're both Merlin owned. So why is it that you've got one park that is, you know, yes, it might have a same maze, you know, over a couple of years, but they're always doing new things, I find, at Fright Nights at Thorpe Park. So why is it you've got one that does that and then at Towers not?
Yeah.
Is that who's in charge of entertainment? Yeah. And running those sorts of things, who's doing that? So, but like I said at the start, you know, I only want to be negative or raise concerns because I want the best for the park and I want the park to do well. And that because you care. And I think that, you know, we raise these concerns. Well, I raise them because I'm thinking, well, someone needs to hear it. You know, this is coming from someone who cares, not because I'm being negative because I want to be, but because I want them to realize, look, there's issues here that, you know, there's so much potential at that park.
We can only wait and see. Just in terms of annual pass, just to end on a positive, the annual pass price pretty much in line with 2024 for 2025. So that is good news. They are not hiking the prices of their annual pass, unlike other parks, which we could mention again for another episode. That's what we do here on Parkcast. We are, like we said, a podcast for theme park fans. We'll be back with another episode very soon. We will be doing a scare attractions episode. And on that expensive annual pass renewal price, I think we'll have to do a Blackpool episode as well. But now though, I've been Vex, that was Kev, and we will see you on the next episode.
Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.